Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
Well, it's such an honor to be here. I just so love Pastor Daniel Hagin. Isn't he like just such a legit champion? He's just been pouring in Christchurch over in where I live and pouring into a lot of leaders and that over there last couple of weeks. And legit, that dude reminds me of Jesus. Like, properly. Such a humble, beautiful dude with dreads, praise God. So, I've got some books out there, and I don't really want to take them back on the plane tomorrow. So this is my story from the pub to the pulpit. It's a testimony. It would definitely be like an R13. Okay, so this is not, you don't read this to your 8-year-old at night. They won't sleep. But it's quite brutal, but it's very real. It's a story of no one's that lost that they can't be found. So who wants, so you buy them when you leave, please. $25, cheap as chips. Or 2 for $80, just for you guys. So who would read it and then give it away? You would? You'd read it, then you give it away? Awesome. Go for it.
Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, well, I'm a Kiwi. Yeah. But actually, I'm like a legit Anzac because I was born in Christchurch, New Zealand, and born again in Wollongong, Australia. So there you go. So a bit of an Anzac right there. And I was preaching in, where was I? In the Gold Coast a few weeks ago. And this Aussie dude came up to me and told me a really powerful testimony. And I said, hey bro, I wouldn't mind filming that because that is so cool. And then when I go around preaching in Aussie churches, I'll play it. And he goes, yeah, sweet. So check out this first little clip.
You see, Daz, 5 years ago, there was a kid at this youth camp, and he was running so far from God that he didn't know what to do with himself. He was just there for a good time. But one night, he got up and he shared a fake testimony to try and convince everyone he was a Christian. But you called him out. Called him out of the crowd and you stood him up and said, bro, you're called to preach, but you're going to know what you're preaching, so get into the word. And man, he wanted to punch you in the mouth, hey? He wasn't happy.
Hey, God's called you to preach, but you've got to know what you're preaching.
Yeah.
So get stuck in the word of God. Yeah. Awesome.
But there was a seed, and it was a real seed, and it got so deep in his heart. Now, it took some time, and he went through his battles. But 3 years later, he started to really take up his cross and learn what it meant to be a Christian. He's finding himself in environments where he should be getting knifed for preaching the gospel. He's gone to all these places and preaching so boldly, but he also really just wanted Jesus, and he wasn't going to let anything stop him. No matter how much persecution came his way, no matter what got in his way, he wanted Jesus, and nothing was going to stop him.
Because I know Jesus. I don't do drugs, I've never had sex, I don't drink. Never had sex. Keep it in my pants until the first dance. It's the Lord's blessing before I start undressing. Come on. Guys, honestly, Jesus is king, bro.
You're looking at that kid. That was 5 years ago that you pulled me out of that crowd and you sowed that seed in my life. And it took a while for it to germinate. But this is the power of a seed. Yeah, so once I was at this rave in the bush, one guy walks past and goes, man, are you reading the Bible? I said, absolutely. Eventually, I ran him through the gospel and decided he wanted to give his life to Christ. He looks at me and he says, Ethan, I want to get baptized. The whole time we were walking there, I was running through what baptism looked like. But we slipped into this pit. I asked him,
do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I do.
Do you believe he died and rose for your sins?
I do,
mate?
Believe he died, right, and rose for my sins.
Well, then the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Now, I pulled him out of his mud, and this guy was covered head to toe in the most rank, thick mud you can imagine. But it's funny, because it was the cleanest he'd ever been. Anyone goes back to that party, and he starts telling everyone about Jesus, man, he's a changed man. His friends don't want to bar it, like, stop playing games. But he was changed.
Well, bro, thank you so much. What a powerful story, and that has so encouraged me. And I hope that has encouraged you.
Isn't that awesome?
So awesome. Power of the seed. I was on the trip a couple of weeks ago, and I was driving to a place in New Zealand called Whakatane, where I've actually got my friends here too. I've got Rich, he's such a champion, and James. Why did I say that? Because you said that yesterday. Yeah, so they're with me, so that's good. So anyway, I was heading to Whakatane, and a dude rang me, and he goes, it was a number I didn't know, and he said, "Hey bro, I just want you to know I've got your wallet." I had no idea. So I chucked a Yui and I drove back to get my wallet. And as I was driving, I was thinking, isn't it interesting that I didn't even know I lost my wallet until someone told me? I didn't know it was lost until someone told me. How many people in our world actually are so lost? They don't know they're lost, they just need someone to tell them. And what if that's you? What if that's you? What if God wants to use you to share the gospel every day? But you might be going, "Oh, that's not really my personality. I'm more of an introvert." You know what? It's got nothing to do with personality. Nothing at all. I couldn't give a rip what personality you've got. Actually, we've got to get those personality tests out of the church, and we've got to get the gospel back in the church. My wife and I, we went to a pastor's retreat a few years ago, and it was at this sort of camping ground, and the food was so bad. Like, legit, it was so bad. And it was for a whole week, and about, you were there. It was, how bad was the food? Unleashed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How bad was it? Yeah, every year. Well, it got worse. Anyway, a few days in, I said to Breezy, my wife, I said, "Hey, look, I can't eat this and I'm losing too much weight. I need to get some fish and chips. I need to get some fish and chips." Do you think I say that a bit funny? Fish and chips? Yeah, funny that. And she's super healthy, but she said, "Yeah, hey, the food's not amazing. You can go and get your fish and chips." So we go to the fish and chip shop. I get the fish and chips, take them back to the camping ground. I thought, awesome. So I sit down, open up the fish and chips, and I go to grab my phone. And I went, oh, man, where's my phone? I quite often lose things. Hey. Yeah. I think I'm on hotel card, it's either 5 or 6, and I've only been here since Thursday. So I do lose things. Yeah. So I said to Breezy, "I left my phone at the fish and chip shop. Could you ring it?" On her phone. So she rings it. We don't hear anything. So I thought, well, okay, here's the plan. We're going to go back to the fish and chip shop because I think someone's stolen it. And we walk in there, and you ring it again, and when I hear it, I'll jump over the counter. The counter was about that high, by the way, so I didn't really think it through too. Anyway, I was going to jump over the counter, grab my phone, and preach Jesus. That was the plan. I said, "Breezy, are you in?" And she's kind of like the ideas filter, really. She's going, "Oh, let's just go and see if I've got it." So we go there, we walk into the shop, and she rings the phone, and Can't hear it. I'm really listening. Just can't hear it. Can't hear a thing. And I said, ring again. So she rings again. And this dude answers it. He goes, "How's it?" And Breezy goes, "Oh, hi. This is my husband's phone. You got my husband's phone." And the guy goes, "Oh, yeah. Where are you?" And he said, "Oh, I'm just around the corner from that fish and chip shop, da, da, da." And Breezy said, "Oh, we'd like to come and get the phone back." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, sweet." So we got the address, so we drive around to to get the phone, and I went up to him, and he was working on doing some roading work. So I went up to him, he's with all his friends and on their high-vis vests and everything. I walk up to him, I go, bro, you got my phone, thank you so much, man. He goes, yeah, sweet, here you go. I said, awesome. I said, where did you find it? He said, oh, it was on the counter. Oh. I said, you stole my phone. He goes, yeah. I wanted an iPhone, eh? I said, well, why did you answer it then? He said, because every time it rang, this came up. You see, the simplicity of the gospel, often we can overcomplicate it. Often we can think we need to do this, we need to say this, we need to da 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 da, we need to da da. No, no, no. We just need to love Jesus. Yeah. And the byproduct of us loving Jesus is he flows out. You know, the Bible says freely we receive, so freely give. And I think so often we can be in services going, God, give me more, more. I want more. I think God's looking down going, well, what the heck are you doing with what you've got? You don't need more. You just need to go with what you've got. It's the simplicity of the gospel, man. Don't overcomplicate it. I'll tell you a wee, I'll let you step into my world a little bit, and I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable. I travel a lot, and I've got four kids. And it's hard, man. It's hard being away from home. It's hard jumping on planes and hotels, and it's hard. And there's a price. There's a price. There's a cost to this. And I remember I came back from a trip, and I was just so, I just had nothing. I just, you know, because some churches really look after you amazingly, and others, oh my goodness. Like seriously, I'm actually writing a book about it for Christian leaders. The closer you get to the circus, the louder you hear the clowns. And my little girl, I was kneeling beside her bed. And she said, Dad, why do you go away so much? And I said, because I love telling people about Jesus. And I want Christians to be brave. She said, oh, that's so awesome, Dad. You're doing such a good job. But it's hard. And as the years have gone on, the calendar just seems to get fuller and fuller and fuller, and that's awesome. And I say all that to put a bit of background about what I'm about to say. Often when I look at my calendar, I get these waves of anxiety. Because every year is 4, 5, 8, 12 days away from my family. And I can say this with total honesty from my heart. For the last month or so, every time I've looked at my calendar and I knew that I was coming to Fire Church, I knew there was something significant going to happen on the Sunday night, the 5 o'clock service. Like every time I would think about it, my heart would just start racing, a good racing. I believe tonight God is going to do something supernatural in this place. So maybe you're thinking, tonight I want to watch Netflix. What the heck? Tonight will be way more powerful than Netflix. I believe God's given me a word tonight for this church, for every single person that's in it. And the word is all about the heart. The condition of our heart. Because you know, you can actually know a lot about Jesus without knowing him at all. Come tonight. Bring your friends tonight that don't know the Lord. Bring your friends tonight that have been offended by the church. Because there's going to be so much healing in this room. It's going to be powerful, man. I'm legit excited. You see, sometimes when we overcomplicate it, the message that we're sharing is not clear. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That is pretty clear. But there's as much hell in that verse as what there is heaven. And I think it's so interesting that even in rooms when I'm ministering, I'll mention hell or sin, the atmosphere drops. We don't like talking about it. Yet, as Pastor Lee was saying this morning, people, if they die without Jesus, where the heck do you think they're going? God hasn't mellowed out. These are not two books. He didn't just go, oh, well, the first half of my life was pretty intense, then I just kind of chilled, I suppose. The only difference is the cross. He hates sin. Don't hear my heart. He loves the sinner. But he hates sin. He put his son up on a cross. Jesus on the cross said, my God, not Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? He was carrying my shame, my sin, my guilt. It was actually a cross for Barabbas. It was actually a cross for you. But he took it, man. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So God hasn't shifted. God hasn't mellowed. God sent his son. The more you understand the fear of the Lord and understand how massive God is, the more you'll look at the cross and go, Jesus, thank you. You'll realize that the worship, just like that first song, oh my goodness, it was all about Jesus. It wasn't, this is how we overcome, what the heck? It was about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There was a Friday night at and I was just at home just chilling out with the kids and I just felt to text a dude. Just sent him a text message, hadn't spoken to him for a couple of months. Heard that he'd been struggling a bit, but we, you know, hadn't had any contact. And I just texted him, and I think in the church, we can sometimes be so fluffy. Oh my goodness, it's okay to call a spade a spade. Oh, we don't have to water it down to make it more palatable. I preached on a plane a couple of weeks ago, 1 a.m. in the morning. Last thing I wanted to do was preach. Holy Ghost was saying, just do it, just do it. Even just for the one, just do it for the one. Had to preach. A lady came and met me in the terminal. This is now like 2 o'clock in the morning. She said, oh, wow, that was amazing. Thank you. I said, oh, awesome. Are you a Christian? She said, no, I've never heard anything like that before. The first time she heard the gospel was on an Air New Zealand plane. You see, it's the simplicity of it. Just being brave enough to talk about the one that we love. What if we were to live out the words that we sing? Life would look a lot different. So I text this dude. Something like, hey bro, I might not have even said hey bro. It might have been, your kids need you, step up and be a dad. Send. I had no idea at that time he was on his phone Googling how to take his life. I asked Pastor Lee if I could play this and he said I could. Check this video out.
Friday night, I was sitting on my bed, been through a really tough patch, marriage separation, fighting over custody battle with my children, between myself and ex-wife, and just struggling, really, really dark place. And I was sitting on my phone in my bed, just at a point where I just had enough, sick of the hurt, sick of the pain, the frustration, didn't see any way out, thought there's no way forward, I'm not going to say to my kids, my wife's over, marriage is over. I was sitting there googling ways to kill myself, to how to end my life. Then I get a message from Daz, your kids need you, bro, step up and be a dad. Daz had no idea that I was in that dark of a place. That was the only thing that stopped me from going ahead that night, for me to be here today. Just know that you could be in a really dark place. You know, God has a plan for your life, and obviously it wasn't my time to go, and Daz just had that feeling that he had to text me, and God told him he needed to, and praise God that I'm here today.
See, that's not evangelism. That's just normal Christianity. The job of the evangelist is actually to be in the church, equipping the church, building the church, inspiring the church. If evangelism looks like anything, it looks like what I'm doing right now. That's just normal Christianity. The byproduct of having an evangelist in a church is that the truth gets preached, the heart can sometimes get cut a little bit, we fall more in love with Jesus, and then we go and talk about the one that we love. Pretty simple, man. The simplicity. So, sometimes it's going to be a bit uncomfortable. As Christians, we need to do awkward well. Because it's going to get awkward. You might be sitting in here today just going, I don't really like this guy. That's okay. Because in about 9 minutes, I'm going to ask you a question. What are you going to do with Jesus? You see, the Bible says that the devil, there is a devil, by the way. A fallen angel. He had a bit of influence because he took a third of them with him. So he's real. The Bible says he is the father of lies. So those little thoughts that you've had just jumping into your head, I don't know if I like this dance guy. That's the devil trying to rob you of the biggest blessing that's about to hit you like a Mack truck. Because if a Mack truck hits you, you come up a bit different. God wants to hit you today with holiness. All that secret stuff that you try and hide away, he wants to put a big light on it and go, you know what? I knew it was there all along and I still loved you. This is what the Bible says. These are words taken out of the Bible. It says, hell is torment, but heaven is joy. Hell is sorrow, heaven is rejoicing. That's what the Bible says. The word of God, the daily bread. Hell is regret, heaven is thankfulness. Hell is pain, heaven is healing. Hell is a lake of fire. Heaven is a river of life. Hell, this is the scariest one, the scariest verse in the whole Bible, man, for me personally. Hell is separated from God for all eternity. Heaven is with God. Hell is darkness, heaven is light. Hell is shut up, closed, sealed. Heaven is open. Hell is unclean, heaven is pure. Hell is punishment, heaven is reward. Hell is a bottomless pit, heaven is an overflowing fountain. Hell never leaves you in peace, heaven is eternal rest. Hell is weeping and gnashing of teeth, heaven is singing and rejoicing. The truth is the truth. It's not my truth. It's not our truth. It's the truth. If I could have the band up, please. Just while the band come up. Don't be distracted. I was in hospital over the COVID. You know, when you weren't allowed visitors and stuff like that. I was in hospital and I was really sick. And I was in bed one Sunday night, and you know, I hadn't seen my family for about a week, and I was just really struggling, man. And as I'm lying in bed, I've got a drip attached to my arm. I've got stitches everywhere. I'm not in a good spot. I heard Holy Ghost. You see, it's not a gift to hear God's voice. He'd be a pretty average father if he didn't speak. I think the issue is more us not listening. Pretty hard to listen to someone when you've got your face in a phone. And Holy Ghost spoke to me and he said, I want you to get up. I don't know about you, but I didn't think that was a great idea. And I said, no, not tonight, mate. And he just kept saying, I want you to get up. And even to get to the bathroom, I'd have to psych myself up for a couple of hours because I was in so much pain. I was going, oh, man, so I don't want to get up. So I don't know about you, but I used to own a plumbing company, and I was quite good with negotiating quotes and things like that. So we started this negotiating process. And I thought he was quite on board with it because I said, I will listen to one of Bill's sermons and all the worship if I don't have to get up. And I thought he went, yep, cool. But as soon as that finished, he said, now I want you to get up. Get up. I went, oh my goodness. So I get up out of the bed and I get into the corridor of the hospital, and I'm looking up at the ceiling and I was just going, now what? You know, if you're not very well in hospital and you're big and tattooed and dreadlocked and you're in the corridor talking to yourself, poor nurses. So I just started thinking, this is ridiculous, what am I doing? So I just start walking down the corridor and I look into a room and there's some patients, and I just thought, oh, I'll go to the end and I'll come back. I look into another room and I see this elderly man just looking out the window, looking over Hagley Park in Christchurch. And so I thought, I'll go and say hi. So I went over and said, hey bro, how you doing? He goes, not good, man. I said, oh, what's up? And he said, today. He didn't say a month ago, a week ago. He said, today, the surgeons have told me that there's no more treatment for me. And they said that I'd have 3 weeks at best. You see, sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable. But we've got to get up. We've got to get up. Even if it's uncomfortable, we've got to get up. And I said, man, I was a few rooms down, and I'm a Christian, bro. I'm actually a pastor, and I felt God wants me to tell you all about him. He said, oh, that's cool, I'm not interested. He said, I don't like religion. I said, neither do I hate it. I said, Lord, stay to me. And I said, mate, I'm in a lot of pain, but God loves you that much. He got one of his kids to get out of the bed and come and see you, so please, could you listen? He goes, yeah, cool. And I shared the gospel. I said, if you die in 3 weeks without Jesus, you're going to spend eternity burning in hell. And I don't want you to, man. I said, when Jesus died on the cross, he carried all your sin, all the junk. He carried it on the cross, man. He goes, really? I said, yeah. I said, you never die, bro. But you'll spend eternity in heaven or hell. And I'm here to tell you that his arms right now are open wide. Just I'm telling you the same thing this morning. His arms are open wide. Do you know the Bible says if you're lukewarm, he'll vomit you from his mouth. Then I grabbed his hands. I didn't ask him if I could pray for him. I just grabbed his hands and I started praying. And I'm not a feely type Christian. Like, I don't feel atmospheres and I wish I did. I've got friends that are really into that, but I'm just not that guy, really. Like, when, even in prayer lines, everyone seems to fall down except me. I have done a couple of courtesy drops, I must... But that was due to breath. But I could feel waves. I could feel them, waves of the Father's love coming into this hospital room. I could just feel them, and I just started weeping. I had my eyes closed because it was just so, you know, I train people, keep your eyes open, keep your eyes open. But it was just the presence of the Father was so thick. And as I opened my eyes, this man was just bawling like a baby. And I said to him, I said, so what do you want to do with Jesus? And I said, well, I want to see him when I die. I said, awesome, bro, let's pray. That man in that hospital bed that night gave his life to Jesus. Yeah, come on. A couple of weeks later, he went to be with Jesus. It's an emergency. When the voice of the woke world is screaming at us louder than the gospel, we've got a problem. This is where we need the sons and daughters to rise up and get up and be brave for Jesus. But you can't give what you haven't got. You can't give what you haven't got. Jesus said, just hang on, just wait. I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost. Then go. We're going to sing that song through again. And you know, this journey that I've been on with Heart that I'm going to share tonight, honestly, if no one responds, I'm going to have lunch with Lee. We're going to have fun. The success of a preach should never be how many people respond. If pride can kick an angel out of heaven, what could it do in the heart of a preacher? So whether you respond or not, it's totally up to you. You carry this gift. It's called free will. But don't let embarrassment, fear, shame, guilt hold you in your seat. You see, those chains, the devil wants to keep you in your seat. He doesn't want you to walk up the front. He doesn't want you to change your posture. Whether you do or not, it's totally up to you. But I've got to tell you the truth. Do not die without Jesus. Buddha will not save you. Muhammad will not save you. New Age teachings, they are not going to save you. Allah will not save you. Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one gets to the Father except going through Him. The doorway's name is Jesus. And if you're in here today and you know a lot about Him, but you don't actually know Him, today is your day. How tragic would it be to give Jesus your heart when He died for your life? All He wants is all of you. And you see, here's the deal, spoiler alert, He actually doesn't want you to be a Christian. He actually doesn't want you to be a Christian and wear that cloak called I'm a Christian, wear the Christian cap. He wants you to understand that you're sons and daughters. My kids never try and be my kids. They just know that they are. That identity of sonship is so beautiful. He's counted every hair on your head. He loves you with an everlasting love. So stop playing games with your eternity. Today is your day. This is what we're going to do. It's super simple. The band are going to start singing that song. You don't need a preacher to lay their hands on you. You want revival? Thanks, bro. You want revival? Awesome, it starts in here. not a blimmin' long song. It starts in here. Today is your day. So as we start singing, I want you to come and just kneel down before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you're elderly and you can't kneel, we'll put some seats here for you and we'll pray for your knees after. But there's something about changing your posture. And don't let the devil rob you. Don't leave here the same way. You see, because what you can do, you're sitting on your seat like this. You're going to get up. You're going to walk to the altar. You're going to take off this backpack of crap, sin, addiction, guilt, shame, condemnation. You're going to lay it on the altar. And when you get back up, you're going to go back to your seat free. Why is that? Because the Bible says who the Son, it's not the round thing in the sky. It's the Son of God, it's Jesus, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And there was something on when I said, Buddha will not save you. There's someone in the room and you've been thinking, Buddha's teachings, da 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 da. I want you to know, they're from the pit of hell. Just, you need to come and get prayer. Awesome, let's go. Don't let fear hold you in your seat. Still more people coming. There's no rush. There's no rush. You're worth waiting for. I just heard the word, the name Anthony. If there's an Anthony in here, you need to get down here. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. He loves you. One of Jesus' friends betrayed him for a bag of silver coins. The Roman soldiers arrested him. They flogged him. They put a sack over his head. This is the Jesus that I'm talking to you about. They would punch him in the face and say, if you're a prophet, tell us who hit you. They put a crown of thorns over his head and they'd spit on his face. People in the crowd were ripping out his beard. He got flogged. He got tied to that whipping post. Thank you, Jesus. They got knotted nails. They slammed them through his hands. They chopped his feet together and slammed another nail through his feet. They put a rope around the cross and they lifted it up high so everyone could see. He was flogged, he was beaten. Most theologians will say he was naked. They were gambling for his clothing. And he did that for you and for me, man. But he also did that for your neighbor and your brother and your sister and your work colleagues. He got hung up on the tree, they say, around 9 a.m. Do you know that the Bible actually says at 12 p.m., day turned into night. And then it switched back at 3 p.m. So for 3 hours, our Savior was hanging on a cross, dying in the dark. Saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Died, rose again. Mate, we shouldn't just be talking about resurrection on Blimmin' Resurrection Sunday. What the heck? It's an everyday story. He rose from the grave. Appeared to a handful, appeared to 500 at once, the Bible says. 29 years ago in Wollongong, he appeared to me. And this morning is appearing to you. On this heart journey that I've been on, I've learned God's not interested in performers. He wants ministers that are sons and daughters. So I don't want you to echo my prayer. Maybe you're up here for the first time. You just need to say, Jesus, forgive me. I believe you died on a cross, rose from the dead. Come and live in me. So simple, but it'll cost you your whole life. Some of you are backslidden. And just like the backpack of shame and guilt and sin and addiction, I want you to ask the Lord Jesus for forgiveness this morning in your own voice. I'm not leading you through a prayer. That whole close your eyes, put your hand up, put it down. I personally struggle with that, man. My king died naked. Public. So right now, every single person in this room that's kneeling, I want you to cry out to the Lord Jesus. We're going to sing. We're going to carry on singing the song and just ask Him to forgive you. And leave all that stuff on the altar. And then I want you to stand to your feet as a brand new, blood-washed son and daughter. And then we're just going to sing that song through a couple more times. And then we're coming back tonight for round 2.